The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you've been with me from the beginning. I've said these things to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. So it was an ordinary morning long ago until the wind began to blow. Gathered there in the upper room in a building whose doors were locked and windows shut tight, you'd have to wonder how a breeze could get through. It was a wind of unknown origin that built into what seemed like a gale force strength. But it was inside the place where what remained of Jesus' followers were assembled together. There were 120 of them. We sometimes forget that there were that many people gathered on this particular day. That's a fair few people to fit into a room, isn't it? 120. But there we are. They were there. One of the disciples who was there on that day described the experience as being like the rush of a mighty wind. The Bible tells us that this powerful breeze was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And how on that Pentecost, long ago, the Christian church was born. Did you notice in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles what happened to the people when the wind began to blow? First of all, the wind turned them from the past and pointed them towards the future. Jesus' disciples were still looking backwards, even though they had experienced the risen Christ and had heard all about what he wanted them to do. He'd given them the Great Commission to go and preach the good news to all people and to baptize. Then came the day, Ascension Day, which is when they got the Great Commission, when he was no longer with them in bodily form. And we're told that they returned to the upper room in Jerusalem and gave themselves over to prayer. This sounds to me like the disciples were doing what we may choose to do when life becomes too much for us. We go inside ourselves and we wrestle with our thoughts. We become preoccupied with what happened. Those who've lost loved ones, which is exactly the case for the disciples, that's what they were going through at this point in the passage that we just read. But those who have lost loved ones may understand what I mean. At the funeral service, you're physically there, but you're not really there. You sing the hymns, but you don't really sing. One half of your mind listens to what the priest has to say, but the other half is off somewhere else with your loved one who's died, with the pain that you're feeling, with all the things that preoccupy you when someone you love dies. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you probably do. I think the disciples were behaving like we do when we encounter life's difficulties. Even today, I'm going to guess that there are some here who are transfixed right now by things that happened to us yesterday. The past does have a hold on us somehow. It's amazing how that happens. Annie Dillard, in her book Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, reflects on this tendency of human beings to look backwards. We all do it. We all do it. But she describes it as facing downstream, at all the things that have flowed away from us. Relationships, our youth, good health. So often we find ourselves gazing down the creek, so to speak, where so much of life has floated downstream. I celebrated my birthday last Sunday. I'm now, clickety-click, 66. 66 years of life have flown down that stream. They've gone. But I am looking forward to what's happening in the future. Dillard says what's needed is to heal our lives and memories, is to turn around and look upstream rather than down. Yes, some of life is always flowing away, and that's always how it will be. While we're alive, some of life will always be flowing away, like the babbling waters of a brook. But turn around and you begin to see more of life coming at you. Life, like a stream, is dynamic. It is dynamic, life is. It's not static. As some passes away and out of you, more of it is flowing your way. So turn around, look upstream. Here it comes, the future. The future's there. God loves you so much that he's constantly replenishing your life. When you trust God to do this, when you trust him with this, you'll find new life and the support for dealing with all that life throws at you. As a Christian, there's a constant turning towards God to receive and appreciate the new day, and to trust, as Mother Julian said, that all will be well. This is part of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to feel the rush of a mighty wind. And we've got an amazing picture here of the disciples. Look at that. Isn't that a great picture? Fabulous picture. Must have been in a movie, I think, that one. Anyway, the second thing. So the first thing is that they realise that they've got to get outside of themselves, sort of thing. The second thing that happens to the disciples when the wind began to blow is that they move from the inside, from in this building, from this room that they spent so much of their time in over the last few weeks, to outside. Outside, from themselves to others. So they move from inside to outside, from themselves to others. When the story begins, they're hiding in a room, feeling broken and unsure. When the story ends, they're out in the city, sharing the good news of Jesus with others. When the story begins, there are 120 of them. When the story ends, they've added 3,000 members to the church. How fabulous would that be? I think one of the great temptations in the Christian life is to so over-personalize our faith that it becomes our possession rather than a gift to be shared with others. I remember hearing about a woman who became upset when children used a modern version of the Lord's Prayer. The next day, she went stomping into the rector's office, and she wanted to know what they had done with her Lord's Prayer. When did it become hers? When did it become hers? It's tempting to think of our faith in the church as something that exists primarily for ourselves, rather than a sanctuary which reaches out to us, but also to strangers and other people who are hurting. Being filled with the Spirit, feeling the rush of a mighty wind, means getting outside of ourselves and reaching out to others. It's such an exciting and challenging thing when people and churches dare to do this. Only then do they begin to fathom the tremendous impact that their lives can have for good in the world. And Christian people throughout the years have done a tremendous amount of good in the world. So often they try to have us focus on the negative stuff that's happened. But overall, the Christian church has done an enormous amount of good over the years. On Passion Sunday, on the 31st of March 1974, a new fledgling faith community began here in Greenwood when 17 people gathered for a worship service and the wind began to blow. They didn't have any money. They didn't have a place to worship. What they did have, though, was the Spirit that blows where it will and a willingness to look upstream at the future and outwards to what was around them. That tiny group of people with a dream bigger than themselves went out, took the risk, made sacrifices, and built a church and community out of nothing. Who could have imagined such a thing but God himself? Do you have any idea of the kind of positive impact that your life can have in this world? And what about our church? What about our church? In a couple of months' time, on the 40th anniversary of our church being built, we'll be celebrating 50 years since this faith community came into existence. How many people do you think we've already reached? How many more do you think we can reach over the next 50 years with the good news of Jesus Christ? We feel the Spirit blow by turning to the future and by reaching out beyond ourselves as we extend the love God gives us to others. It's interesting, isn't it, when we look at today's passage that Leslie had to read, which is always an interesting one from Acts, because you've got all those names that you have to say. But Luke, when you read the passage in that, Luke's included people from Medes and the Elamites in his long list of who was present at Pentecost. But there hadn't been any Medes or Elamites in the world for hundreds of years. Maybe it was Luke's way of saying, don't ever give up on anyone. Don't ever give up on anyone. One of the most destructive things we can do as Christians is write people off, seeing them as people who are beyond God's reach. The Christian faith calls us to see hope in every person and to see God's grace at work in every corner of life. What the Bible asks us to do is leave judgment to God. And when we do that, we can get on with the business of loving others and extending the reach of God's love, no matter how lost people may seem to be. I always find it interesting, isn't it, that sometimes we think that people don't want to hear about the Christian faith. We make that assumption for other people. But if you get talking to people about the Christian faith, they actually usually are quite interested, and then they sometimes sort of want to know a little bit more. So the Medes and the Elamites, they'd been given up on long ago. But here at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit leads the new fledgling church to them. Are we willing to give it a try, to let the Spirit help us turn to the future so we can receive all the new gifts of life that God pours out to us every day? Are we willing to let the Spirit move us outward where we can discover the tremendous positive impact that our lives can have on others. The Spirit always, always gives us hope for the world and the resolve to never give up on anyone. The Lord be with you.